Tired of fighting your kids to make their bed? Say hello to Betty's. The unique design lets your kids make their bed with just a zip. Our patented bedding includes everything you need, a fitted sheet, top sheet, and comforter in one seamless piece that zips together. Kids love the feeling of accomplishment when they can make their bed by themselves every day. Make your mornings easier and visit Beddys.com. That's Beddys.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That sequence of giving up like three offensive rebounds and Orlando could just not cash in was just crazy.
But all we ask for is you come back the next game and do what you need to do to take care of business. And they did exactly that. The defense was great all freaking night. I love that Mike Brown had them in the zone, kind of switching back from that man to zone.
So we're talking 8 years since Jaylen Brown and two coaches. Two GMs. So to just think that the Kings lose in the seven-game series in the first round, that all of a sudden we're this elite team and championship contender and we're supposed to win every game, it makes no sense. Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daily, joined by my co-pilots, Elizabeth and Naima. What's going on?
What's up, y'all?
Good evening, y'all.
Let's go. First quarter, shout out to Keegan for getting the Kings on the board with a midi. Shout out to De'Aaron on defense for deflecting a pass, which led to a Domas steal. Also, Len blocked the invincible Jonathan Isaacs. Duarte punches in a three to end the quarter. Kings up 27-26. Second quarter, so many defensive plays. Len diving for loose balls and Duarte walking over people to get the ball for the possession. Keegan blocking Markel's jumper. Also, Keegan tipping a baseline pass to gain possession for the Kings. Unfortunately, Magic were up 56-54 to end the quarter. Elizabeth, Naima, thoughts?
Yeah, the first half, both teams defensively I thought were great. Keegan, like every game he gets aggressive so early, and this game he didn't shy away from it, which I love, because he was getting his middies, he was getting the threes. So they came out, I thought, you know, Harrison Barnes was aggressive early, Sabonis was obviously aggressive early, but they weren't backing down from the Orlando Magic physicality, which I love. It just is nice to see when this team, you know, matches that physicality early, doesn't let it, you know, a big lead happen or anything like that. You know, they were basically going back and forth the entire first half. So down by two into halftime, that's basically all you can ask for. And, you know, gives you a chance to win, you know, coming in the, you know, second half as well. So great first half from the team.
Yeah, I love how they competed in that first half. It seemed like the Magic were making everything, and then I always say a basketball is a game of runs, and basically that's what it was in that first quarter. I feel like they were just exchanging buckets. So Kings went down like six, then Magic went down by eight, and then it was a tie game. Then we took the lead. So I'm just glad they stayed with it. I really liked how Keon was playing. Keegan played great as well. As always, like Domas playing well. Fox as well. The only gripe I have with Fox is I feel like he's been forcing threes. I don't know. I think he shot like 11 threes tonight, and I'm like, he does not need to shoot that many threes, in my opinion. I think he needs to take more to the hole. Of course, he scored 30 plus points, so he had a good game as well. So it was a good half to watch for sure.
Right on. And he's not there yet. He's going to get there though. I can't wait for Fox in next season or the year after that. He's going to start hitting crazy motion threes like Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. He's going to put that in his game for sure. But I know what you mean. It's like, can we please go mid-range? Because all of us know him, Harrison can all do it.
Bread and butter. Yep.
Exactly. And we'll get to Monk eventually, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Third quarter, Keon blocks a Cole Anthony runner. Jonathan Isaac comes in and wrecks shop, and the Magic get back in it. And by the way, Jonathan Isaac, I think, scored 17 points in 8 minutes of the first half. It's like ridiculous. So shout out to him and all of his problematic self. Fox gets a steal and a layup, and then Fox hits a buzzer beater three to tie it up. 81 all. Fourth quarter, Keon gets a steal, which leads to that Monk to Fox oop, which is beautiful. Fox with a brilliant floater over Jonathan Isaac, and one. Keon hits a clutch long step back two. Fox hits two clutch free throws with 20 seconds to go. The Kings give the Magic so many opportunities in one possession to tie the game or win the game in the final seconds, but they don't get it done. Keon hits one out of two free throws with 2 seconds to go. Kings win 109-107. Light the beam.
I just want to say, Keegan had a fantastic fourth quarter. Like, him hitting those threes were so huge. Also, Keon hitting that in clutch time, hitting that shot as well. It was just beautiful to see. Again, like you mentioned, Daly, like, that sequence of giving up like three offensive rebounds and Orlando could just not cash in was just crazy. And then their last shot was extremely confusing because I don't even think they really got a shot off in those 2 seconds. I think Carroll got it after the buzzer, which was just strange that they didn't just go for it. But it was a good win, hard-fought win. It's not easy. I believe Orlando Magic heading into this game were like 25-9 on their home court. So obviously they're really good at home. Wish the Kings could say the same. But yeah, so it was going to be a hard-fought game, and it was. And I'm glad to see that it came out with Kings winning.
Yeah, I agree. The thing with this team, you know, I mean, yes, it's frustrating when you lose, you know, against especially a Washington Wizards team. But all we ask for is you come back the next game and do what you need to do to take care of business. And they did exactly that. The defense was great all freaking night. I love that Mike Brown had them in the zone, kind of switching back from that man to zone. They kind of let a couple, you know, sneak by, especially Jonathan Isaac down there, down low. There was a couple, like, Paolo Banchero had a really, really nice freaking pass to Jonathan Isaac down low, and, like, there was no one within, like, 5 feet of him. So the Magic are really, really good. They're fourth in the East for a reason. I'm actually really excited to watch them in the playoffs. But to have, you know, your guys step up like Keon tonight, I was really, really happy with, you know, him being more aggressive on offense. I think that's, you know, maybe a part of the reason kind of why, you know, he didn't play a lot of the game, you know, the other night in Washington, because he was kind of being passive when it came to his offense. And we're going to need that to him to be aggressive on offense if you're missing Kevin Huerter, you know, down the stretch and in the playoffs. So Keon, just with a really, really nice rebound game, just clutch buckets, the clutch free throw, you know, especially getting hit in the face, you know, it's hard to make two free throws, especially, you know, with the playing time that he's kind of had, not being very consistent. But Keegan, just a great fourth quarter, was hitting those major threes. Fox with another awesome fourth quarter, 10 points in the fourth quarter. It's fun to watch this team, you know, and especially when your best player off the bench in Malik Monk literally went 0-for-11 and just like could not buy a bucket to save his freaking life. Other guys stepped up, did what they needed to do to get this win again against a really, really good Orlando Magic team. So, you know, at this point in the season, you got to take wins at any given moment. It doesn't matter how they happen, how ugly they are, how pretty they are. A win is a damn win. It goes in the W column in the standings. So nice win. They're heading back home. They got another tough matchup against, you know, Philadelphia. Yes, they're without Embiid, but just a great win overall tonight by the team.
Shout out to our guards for guarding much taller players. Keegan had a Banchero at times and gave him fits. He forced Banchero to miss a three. De'Aaron had Franz Wagner, and they were battling back and forth. And it's like, come on, Franz. He's literally 5 inches smaller than you, so let's relax on the two small gestures or even getting excited. Shout out to Keegan for hitting 6 of 7 threes and Keon Ellis were hitting four threes. Just an amazing game from our starters, which we needed, right? Because our bench and mainly Monk. I mean, Monk was 0 for 10 or 0 for 11, and then our bench got outscored by like 49-7. So that's absurd. Most of it was Jonathan Isaac and Cole Anthony doing work for the Magic. So shout out to them. Shout out to their bench, because without their bench, this game wouldn't even be close. And they're lucky Monk had an off night, because if Monk was on, we would have won by at least 15. Guaranteed. Shout out for Chris Duarte as well for making a timely three in the first half, I believe. And then Alex Len doing a decent job. He did as much as he could against a much more mobile opponent in Jonathan Isaac. But what can we say? What a win. Mics are open. Julie, get back in here.
I will say real quick too, absolute, like, that was such a nice, and they even talked about on the broadcast, so good putting Alex Len on the inbound in that final play to have a big guy jumping up and down, because that obviously it's harder to pass in and things like that, because if they had more time, obviously you could pass it into the backcourt, and they couldn't because it was only 2 seconds, so they had to get the ball inbounds in the, you know, the half court and then try to get a shot up. So that was absolutely brilliant by Mike Brown and the coaching staff to put Alex Len on that inbounds play. And then also shout out to Mike Brown. We just clutched got the second winning season in a row, which is awesome. You know, people last game were kind of talking about, you know, is Mike Brown going to last and fire Mike Brown, like the weirdo stuff that happens. So I just absolutely love that we have Mike Brown and we just keep improving as the, you know, season goes along.
Julie, how are you?
I'm good. I dropped out because I didn't think I'd have time to speak before I had to kind of dip out of here. But no, good win. That was good. You know, everyone's screaming at TVs and this team never gives me a moment of peace. How they are.
So when it's like seconds to go and you know the Magic could potentially win this with that side out of bounds play, did you like have any moments of acceptance if the Kings lost? Were you stressed or what was going on?
It's always stress. It's always stress until the timers run out. Because, I mean, we've done it to others and it's scary when it's about to be done to us, you know?
Yeah. It's just basketball life. It's crazy. Thank you, Julie, for calling in and hope you have a good night. Thank you. Torino, what's happening?
Yeah, what's going on? Ugly win, a win nonetheless, but you know, we gave them plenty of opportunities in the end to clutch up and get it on us, but you know, thankfully you know, the tide was in our favor. Keon was amazing tonight. He's making the most of every second that he's on the court. You know, it's just a different kind of energy when he's on the floor. You know, it's to a point now where, excuse me, every time you see whether there's a scramble play for a loose ball or a rebound or anything like that, you know, he's putting himself in position to be in the play and, you know, keep possession alive or to get out in transition for us after a solid defensive play and, you know, so on and so forth. So I just got to give a shout out to that man, because I honestly feel like his production is what won us this game. I know Fox had 31. I know Sabonis, you know, had 21 and 17 or 15, double-double. The streak is still alive. But, yeah, Keon and Keegan's performances is what got us the dub overall. And, you know, so I just got to commend those two guys for that, because they're the two youngsters on the squad that are playing meaningful minutes. And, you know, I mean, you know, when your top three, top two players aren't necessarily, you know, giving you the best production, you know, to kind of, you know, put you in the best position, they stepped in and did that for us. So, yeah, I give them their flowers. And shout out to Alex Len, too, because he, like, once again, being out there just playing to his strengths, playing within himself, and, you know, just giving us good minutes, you know, with limited opportunity. So those three guys for me is who kind of, you know, we won by two, we don't win by two, or we don't win at all without their production. So gotta give them their flowers.
Yeah, and I was waiting for like multiple members of our team to step up at the same time. Usually it's only one. 9 times out of 10, it's Monk. So it was nice to see our other role players come through. And then also shout out to HB on the defensive end for him and Keon tag teaming Bankero like that. So I think Bankero was only held to like 35% shooting. So something like that from the field. So shout out to them as well. Good old HB coming through. Thank you, Torino. Appreciate you as always, man. David, how are you?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, I'm great. Every game against Orlando tends to be stressful. So, but that was a great win against a great team. I think like what a lot of people said, I already kind of agree with, like the fact that Ellis is kind of looking for shots more is a good thing. And the fact that Keegan had a really great game, especially considering he was in foul trouble for the vast majority of it. So that was good to be able to still find a way to both be productive defensively and, you know, have a good kind of getting out of his way offensive game. What's really nice about this over the last, like, this has kind of continued a pattern we've been seeing since really since that game against the Buck, where for the most part, the Kings have played really solid defense in pretty much every game they played. Like, they've done a good job defending their opponents and making it hard on their opponents. And this game really had that kind of both feel and like experience, and so that's good to see, especially with the Kings heading towards the postseason. But yeah, no, great performance from the guys, great to win the game. Kind of wish it was a little we were able to close out maybe a little bit sooner, but like hey, that's what you get when you're playing a really great playoff team. Like, you know, Orlando is a solid playoff team in the East and you're playing on their court, and so it was going to be a close battle and we managed to win it out. I think the team played, the main thing I'm impressed by was defense. We played really great defense tonight, I feel like. And the fact that we were able to win, despite the fact that like we pretty much got very little, if anything, from our bench, as you talked about daily. So yeah, so great performance all around, especially from Keegan and tonight and Ellis again tonight. So good job all around, and a great job seeing these guys respond again like they've been doing all season, showing that they can always respond. I feel like this is a team that's really comfortable when they're like uncomfortable. Like, they play their best ball when they're like, they feel like they go into a game feeling like they have to get it. They play their best ball then, where they, and so I think, which is part of the reason I'm very optimistic about their playoff performance. But great win, great performance, good to get it.
Thanks for calling in, David. And I'm glad you mentioned the defense. I would have to say they played, let's say, 3.5 quarters of solid defense. I still think they have lapses every now and then. But that little stat that it seems like every member of Kings media is posting this stat. Oh, well, in the last 10 games, the Kings are ranked 4th in defense. It is matching the eye test for sure. And I think this is who they are in the playoffs. They start clamping when they really need to. So hopefully that's the case. King Deej, it's been a minute, man. Good to see you. What's happening?
Hey, DS. I haven't spoken to you in almost a year, man. How the heck are you, man?
We're good, dude. And you do spaces, right?
Yes.
So my old ass is, you play so many bangers. My old ass is Shazamming the beginning of your spaces because you play so many bangers. You play the bebop and the dope joints. So shout out to you for that.
Hey, shout out to you. And also shout out to Elizabeth. You know, me and Elizabeth, I got to, first and foremost, let me click this follow button for Elizabeth because me and her, we troll each other on this football. But DS, you know, I love y'all Sacramento Kings. I've been saying that consistently for like, what, the last 2 years now? And I think, well, first and foremost, thank you for the favor. That's first. And thank you so much. We appreciate it. Two, you guys kind of gave the blueprint to the Eastern Conference teams about the Orlando Magic. And I just wanted to give y'all a compliment. They make the game, like the Orlando Magic make these games, guys, and like y'all being, by the way, definitely let y'all be in. But the Orlando Magic just have a tendency of making games ugly because offensively they struggle. And like with them out, like out rebounding you and them like trying to basically be the quote unquote tough guys, you guys still came out. And again, without Kevin Huerter, so that's a compliment to your point as well. You came out and you still, you know, I know the defense, like you said, DS was bad, but offensively, you basically contain what they can do as far as Franz and Banchero. So I just wanted to come up in here more necessarily give you guys your flowers. You know, I'm rooting for you in the playoffs. You're my only favorite team out West. I don't care about anybody else. I want the Kings and the Knicks to be back to the glorious days. So I come in peace, Sacramento. Light y'all beam. And DS, I'm going to hit you up because, you know, we got another game like 2 weeks from now. I'll try to see if we could, you know, have a friendly, actual basketball conversation, co-host about our Kings and our Knicks, man. Because I really think if y'all could get, and I'm going to land my plane here, I'm sorry. I think if y'all could get to that 4-5 and maybe somebody drops down and it's not the Pelicans, I think right there is your pathway to the Western Conference Finals. I feel like you could avoid a few teams that you don't necessarily have to see until then. And that's what we're doing over here on the Eastern Conference. So thank you, DS. Thank you, Elizabeth. And pleasure meeting you. I gave you a follow. And light y'all be, man. I'll sit back and shut up.
Well, hold on, D's. Who's your football team?
I am a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Oh, wow. So we got Gus the Bus, man. I'm a Charger fan, man. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Oh, you're a Chargers fan? Well, yeah, shout out to the Hall Bar connection.
And, there you go.
And enjoy Gus. You know, it's nothing bad about Gus at all. He was a Raven. He'll always be a Raven. I expect him to do great things for your Chargers, man. So shout out to the Gus Bus.
No, we love him already. The memes are already here. Thanks, man, for coming through. Ross, you came in. What's up?
Yo, what's up, everybody? Great gutsy win. I believe it was David was saying earlier, or Torino, when this team is kind of against the wall, they just managed to get a win, you know, every time up until I think they had the game against the Pelicans or somebody in the play-in that we got blown out and we were all real hyped for that game and really disappointed. It seems like ever since then, when there's a big game on the line, this team has really stepped up. So, you know, they always seem to kind of create these problems for themselves and then fix them in season. So just shout out to Mike Brown. He just kind of is the glue to this team. We begged for this team to be middle of the pack defense, like literally begged and laughed about it for the last 10 plus years. And we're 15th, which I can't believe, like, and you're kind of seeing it the last, you know, 20 games or so, but that was the whole dedication. You know, that's what kind of coach Mike Brown is. But you got to have the pieces. And to his credit, he's kind of like, you know, look at Keegan. For all we know, the jump is huge because Mike Brown, he's a brilliant defensive coach. And this is kind of what playoff basketball is going to be. It's going to be ugly, low scoring games. You know, don't get me wrong. This team is stressful and my heart is not going to make it one of these days because pretty much every game this season, the last 5 minutes is a test, each and every last game. But shout out, we got it done, needed the win, and they played great. And secondly, just shout out to the Magic. They kind of did what I was begging for the Kings to do about 3-4 years ago. They made that huge trade away Vooch, got back a bunch of picks and some good players. And they were able to get a full reset, tank, you know, really get a good player in Paolo and some other good draft picks. And they're looking nice, but just wanted to tie it in and say Monty, like, didn't have that luxury with this team. He came in and wasn't allowed to trade away the best pieces for multiple draft picks and get 2-3 years. So really was amazing how he just pulled this thing up from, you know, pretty much nothing to kind of what it is today. I'll continue to praise him for that because it wasn't easy. But yeah, light the beam. I'm going to keep listening. Appreciate y'all.
Russ, what's your take on Markelle Fultz?
It's been interesting. I mean, coming out of college, that Danny Ainge is insane. Like, just don't ever trade with Danny Ainge. It's just luck is not going to be on your side, because I remember most of us were surprised when we made the trade, and then a year or two later, looks like a genius. But Fultz is really, like, coming to his own. I'll take him any day. Just a hard-nosed player, worked his way back. And yeah, I like his game. I've always been rooting for him, because that's tough to see sometimes, you know, high drafting like that.
Exactly. I'm all about Pac-12 players anyways. But, I mean, the physical tools are there. And I think in the right situation, he could be more than what he is, right?
Yeah, give him to Mike Brown. He might – I can't tell if he's a free agent this season. I can't remember if I saw it, but –
Oh, well, they just have a glut of guards. So
I know. Let's trade with the Magic. Like,
can we have one? You already have Anthony Black, who's going to be a stud. So
for sure,
it's ridiculous. And I feel like Cole Anthony is going to turn into like a Colin Sexton, who's just going to find himself and be able to.
I love his game. I was able to go to that double overtime earlier in the year, and dude, the Magic are tough, and they are physical, and I was nervous before this game because they're just such a long defensive team. If the three-pointer's not going in, it's going to be a long-ass night. So shout out to the Kings for scrapping.
No, seriously. And people talk about bad losses. Let's talk about this quality win, considering the Orlando Magic are only second to the Knicks in the last 10 games in defense. And then the whole season, they've been great. I think they're top 10 in defense, I want to say. I'll look that up later, but this is a quality win, y'all, on the road against a tough, young Magic team that has those pieces that we struggle against. You know, and it's a tough one because if Monk goes off, and let's say Jonathan Isaac actually had his win back and he's able to play 30 minutes, it's still a toss-up for real. So quality win, man. Be happy about this. Earlier, Ross mentioned the Celtics, I do believe. Which I felt was, I was going to do the segue then, but I'll hold off until now. And I apologize if everything slows down, but I have to do this. My mission is to just let people know that championship teams are not built overnight. They really aren't. So we're going to talk about the Celtics today. Brad Stevens was coach for 3 years, started in 2013. Okay. They totally tank in his first year as coach. And then the next year, because he's such a good coach and they didn't have anybody, they lost to those Cavs. Those Cavs meaning LeBron and company. 2015-16, they lose in the first round exit to Atlanta in six games. And then we're going to start the rebuild, not when Brad Stevens is coach, but when they draft Jaylen Brown. So that's the 2016-2017 season. They get back Al Horford in his ninth year. They had Terry Rozier, which is crazy to think about. Marcus Smart was in his third year, and this is when IT went off, and he was there in his fifth year. And say they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals in five games to those LeBron Cavs, and no Kyrie. So this is LeBron, K-Love, Kyle Korver, George Hill. Okay, so they lose to them in five games. Next year, 2017-2018, they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals again in seven to those same Cavs. But that's the season where they signed Jason Tatum and where they drafted him in the summer before that. So already that's 2 years since they got Jaylen Brown. 2018-19, they lose in the semifinals of the Eastern Conference in five games to Milwaukee. 2 years later, the Bucks win their finals, right? So that's already 3 years. They re-signed Marcus Smart as a free agent. They signed Time Lord Robert Williams, who all the Celtics love, and we know what happened to him. 2019-2020, they lose in the Eastern Conference Finals to Miami in seven. They signed Jaylen Brown to an extension. They actually had Max Strus on a two-way in the summer, and then they waived him in fall. So can you imagine the Celtics with Max Strus right now? Crazy. Fifth year, 2020-2021, they lose in the first round to the Nets. That was when they had, I want to say Kyrie and KD, those Nets. And then they signed first round pick Peyton Pritchard that year. 21-22, they changed coaches. They have Ime Udoka. We know what happened there. Brad Stevens is the new GM. They signed Sam Hauser, who's a very important role player now. Then that was when they went to the finals and lost in six to the Dubs. 2022, 2023, that's last year. We know what happened to Aimé Udoka. They hire Joe Mazzulla, who was an assistant. Again, they lose in seven games to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. They trade Aaron Nesmith, Nick Stauskas, Daniel Theis, and other developmental players, and a first from Malcolm Brogdon, which we know isn't on the Celtics anymore. They also signed Gallinari, who did not play. This season, they're 11 games ahead of first in the East. They traded Lamar Stevens in 2 seconds for Jaden Springer. They also traded Brogdon, and then all the Celtics fans, baby, Time Lord, 2 firsts, their own in Golden State's, for Jrue Holiday, which I think if they win the chip this year, it'll be him and the unicorn. Why am I blanking on his name? Feel free to say it if you know who I'm talking about. But those are going to be the main reasons why they win it all this year. So we're talking 8 years since Jaylen Brown and 2 coaches, 2 GMs. So to just think that the Kings lose in the seven game series in the first round, that all of a sudden we're this elite team and championship contender and we're supposed to win every game, it makes no sense. That's not natural to have that expectation. And that's my point of this. I'm probably going to be doing this every game night. I'll pick an elite team or a former championship team and talk about their build because, yeah, that's the point, man. These elite teams are not made overnight. That's the end of my TED Talk. I'm just kidding. Torino, what's up?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Moral of the story, the Kings will hoist up a trophy in the next, well, let me not put a time on it, but the time's going to come. So, yeah, it's going to take time. But what I was going to say was, and makes sense, Monk goes 0-11 against Orlando, and obviously everyone is mentioning how, you know, they have the most money to offer him in free agency and all that. I don't know. Maybe there might be something to that. But, you made good points. Obviously, we, you know, talk about that all the time where our expectations sometimes can be a little higher than they should be considering where we are in our, you know, resurgence as a relevant franchise. And I mean, yeah, you know, it's just right. You know, I mean, it's going to take time. You know, this group, as we see it, is not going to be, it's not what it's going to look like when we do. And when we do win a championship, is going to look a lot different. You know, hopefully we have our top four still when that day comes, but you know, even then, you know, it's not going to look like it does now, just like those teams that have won chips. They didn't look like they didn't look like they did when they first began their rebuilds. So, you know, it takes time. You know, hopefully it doesn't take too long because I feel like the window is definitely there for the Kings to be able to do that in the next 3, 4, or 5 seasons. So, you know, hopefully they can deliver on one of those in one of those years. So, just wanted to, you know, put that into perspective. But yeah, Malik 0-11 in Orlando, that's no coincidence.
Stop, man. Don't even put that energy out there. You know, some person, I had to mute them and unfollow them, but they actually said, and this is when he was going off. I forget what game that was. In the last 3 games, this person tweets like, too bad Monk's not going to be here next year. It's like, come on, what are we doing? Let's not.
We got to just kind of let it play out. You know, exactly. Obviously, exactly. No one knows anything. I mean, hell, he probably doesn't even know at this point, and rightfully so. You still got 12 games plus, you know, hopefully playoff series with this franchise. So, you know, before you begin to think about that. So just kind of got to focus on the here and now, and just, you know, the chips will fall where they may. I'm confident he'll be back. And, you know, so we'll see. But also, did anyone see those Kings Herald? You know, sometimes they make those custom jerseys. They did one for
The Kentucky Brothers.
The connection, yeah, for Fox, Monk, and Trey Lyles.
I wish they were black, so, you know, it slims my fat ass down. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, no, it's dope. It's dope. But well, let's talk about that later, because uniform talk could last like 4 hours. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
But thank you, Torino. Appreciate that. Cereal, what's up, man?
So I will say this coming, and I don't agree with the parts of the fan base that expect instant oatmeal right away, right? But I do kind of understand the psychological aspect of it, where you've been damaged for like literally 16 years and you finally have a team, and you're, it's the waiting for the floor to drop, and you're so like want to win so bad that you're afraid that if, because right, we don't know, every team has a different window. There's some teams that have had a, you know, like you said, with Boston, like they've continuously moved in and out players and trying to make the team better. And this seems like this possibly could be the year, but obviously we don't know yet. And then you have teams like, even though the Bulls have a semi-storied franchise, when they had the Derrick Rose run, where it was like, it's inevitable for them to win a championship. You could see those young pieces, and then their superstar crumbles, and it's a what-if story. So I get it, like with the 16 years of futility, that all of a sudden you have these guys, and one, you're scared that the team will never live up to its standards. And then two, because you've seen so many players leave this franchise and become either good or decent somewhere else, you're scared that your players are going to do that at some point. So I don't agree with that mind frame, mind you. But I do get it. Like, I understand why their clock ticks the way it does. And I respect it. Like, I don't respect when they go off the handle with stuff and the name calling and people calling each other stupid and all that dumb stuff. Or, as Elizabeth had made reference to before, is like the whole negativity part. Like, yo, if, when your team wins, you need to cheer too. Like, don't just come up and point out all the flaws in your team, because every team can do that. I could show you chinks in the armor of a 72-10 Bulls team. There were chinks in the armor. It just happened that the greatness of Mike and Pippen overcame a lot of that. But I could have gone down the line of some of those players that they were lucky that they got bailed out a lot too. So there's no flawless team. Every team has flaws. Every player has flaws. There's no perfect player either. So that's the ones that kill me, right? Like when they go off on the Harrison Barnes and the Keegan Murray. I sit Keegan Murray on the bench, like the ridiculous aspects of it. But I do get like the overall, like wanting to win so bad right now, because you don't know where you're going to be a year from now, 2 years, 2 years and stuff like that. And I went to Reno on Monk though. I have no doubt. Like there literally is no doubt, not one piece of doubt to me, the way I see things, that he would be anywhere but the Kings. And it has to do with Fox. And it has to do with, I think he said it in the past, like he likes the way Mike pushes him. Yeah, there's confrontation at some point sometimes, but in the overall grand scheme of his game, he sees that Mike brings out the best of him. And he's gotten the best out of him out of any year that he's been on any team. And I do think that if some other team offered like $3-4 million more a year, he still would stay in Sacramento. I really do believe that. Like, they're going to have to give him, they're going to have to not insult him with whatever the offer is. But I think as long as they're in that ballpark, he's not going anywhere. He sees what he has here. This is where he has the most fun overall. Like, and at the end of the game, as much as it's a business, and we always stress that and all that, this is the game that we learn to love, or at least most of us, playing on the court, being on the court, playing in the rain, like ridiculous stuff. And it's no different from them when they're out there. Yes, there's money involved at the end of the day, but when they're playing, they're kids. They're literally kids out there playing. So, and he's with his best friend. Like, I just don't see it. I don't see dude leaving. I would be in utter shock, a complete shock, if that dude left the Kings. But that's just how I feel, man.
Right on, Serial. I appreciate you coming through. We appreciate you coming through. And when it comes to Monk, I just think the Kings are going to give him the bag in the second year. You know, it'll just, that's how it's going to be structured. That's when they're going to have money and the cap is going to be increased. So he will get his money that he deserves. And as far as him leaving, somebody's going to have to do a massive overpay. Maybe Monk balls out for them. Maybe he doesn't. I think the reason of his success this year is the personnel, the system, the friendship between him and De'Aaron. It's everything, man. I think he's found a home. I think most basketball players want a home. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And yeah, if somebody ends up giving him what? It would have to be like 30 mil. A year, and that would kind of be an overpay if he doesn't play well. I'm not saying he's going to be Gabe Vincent, Kendrick Nunn going to the Lakers. Tragic, but you know, if he doesn't have the right coach and the right personnel around him, I could see him not thriving like he does here. So that's all I got to say to that. Liz, any last words?
Yeah, a few things. Shout out to the Stockton Kings. They clinched a playoff spot tonight. Absolutely love that for the team and Lindsay Harding. She's doing a heck of a job over there. So shout out to them. I love Deuce Mason dropped a little tidbit. He said that Mason Jones, because he was playing for Stockton tonight, he immediately asked after the game if, you know, did we win, speaking about Sacramento and Orlando. And, you know, obviously, yes, we did. So love that. He, I think, is going to be key, like, in especially the playoff run and, like, being on the bench. Like, to just hype those guys up. Like, he is the absolute hype man for this Beam team. So yeah, just shout out to them. That's really awesome that they're making another playoff appearance. And then shout out also, today announced, Nemanja Bjelica announced that he's retiring from basketball. Fuck it. We deserve this win, as he said, famously. Absolutely love the guy. Happy that, you know, he's able to step away from basketball on his own terms and things like that. So he had some good years in Sacramento, obviously, with that big game winner against Houston. And guys, this is the final stretch. There's 12 games left in the season. Like, it is absolutely insane. These playoff spots are going to get even crazier. If you peep the standings, Houston right now is on an absolute freaking tear. Like, they are 1.5 games out of that 10th seed against the Warriors. So if the Warriors don't buckle it the fuck up, they might not even make the play-in. So I'm just excited for some really, really good basketball. It's going to be fun. Obviously, watching this Kings team, you know, continue the next 12 games. Hopefully, like we all, you know, hope for is clinch a top six seed. But I'm here for whatever chaos it brings, because chaos is always fun. Yeah, guys, let's enjoy the ride while it lasts, because the season is only going to go for so much longer. You know, we don't know once playoff time comes if we'll, you know, move on, you know, to the second round or what's going to happen. So enjoy it, guys. It's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm really excited for this next couple of weeks.
Enjoy this win, y'all. We know how good this team can be. We know the potential. Ignore the haters. Beams up. Good day. Good night. And light the beam.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.